Well, we're talking about him. You see the signs up here. Says it's all about him and greater, and that's all from camp. And they're just trying to magnify his name. And that's all we can do is magnify his name. There's nothing good in any of us. In our own merit, in our own, by ourselves, there's nothing good in any of us. But when Christ comes in, then we can't say that. We can't say that there's nothing good in us, because this greatest is in us. See, I'm not going to have Christ in me. I have Christ in me now because I'm saved. I'm not going to go to heaven. As far as the Bible says, I'm already there positionally. I just ain't got there bodily.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm preaching to you Bible now.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm working from victory from the cross. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to have victory. I have victory because of the cross and because I've received Christ. My victory is there.
Amen.
See, my sins ain't going to be gone. My sins are gone now.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
I'm not going to be justified. I'm justified now. I'm already sanctified, set apart for God, and being sanctified soon to be glorified. So I've got a lot to enjoy here. He's my God now. He's not going to be. He's my God now because I'm saved. Now, if you ain't saved, you ain't got none of that. If you ain't saved, you're going to hell. If you're not truly saved, truly born again, that you've repented and received Christ as your Savior, you're going to burn in hell unless you turn to Christ. But after you turn, then it's done. Then you live for Him. And it's a joy. If you're not having joy living for the Lord, it's because you ain't right with Him.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Boy, yeah, I noticed how the amens quit. As long as I was telling about how He, when it gets down to what we got to do, boy, it quiets down. You know why?
Yeah.
Because we're dirty.
Right.
All right. That's just the way it is this morning. We're gonna have to clean up.
Yes,
we'll have to repent.
Yes.
Huh? Church gonna have to get right with God.
Amen.
Some of the church got right. Some of the church got right this week. Some of the kids did. Some of the adults did. Not all the adults that was there did, but some of them did. Not all the counselors and all of us. Not all of us got right all through the week. Some of us it took a while. Some didn't get it at all. Some spent more time whispering instead of listening. But the rest of you didn't go. Y'all got work to do. See, we got away from the world for a week, and God manifested Himself in a great way. That's why they was a little bit more on them girls' tongue this morning. They done a great job this morning.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more on it because they've been alone with God.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to me?
Yeah.
They was a little bit more on their life because they was alone with God without the world.
Yeah. That's right.
And ain't much God on a life that's got more world than Him.
Yeah.
So, let's pray. Father, I come. You're wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And Lord, you just can't be beat. And you're just the greatest. You are. You're the greatest. And
yeah.
I've thought of, I couldn't help but think, Muhammad Ali, all the time saying he was the greatest. He may have been the greatest boxer, but he ain't the greatest God. And there's nobody like you. You're wonderful. I adore you. You're perfect and pure and holy and faithful. You've never made a mistake. You've never let me down. Oh, you've kept me from the things I deserve. You've showed me mercy instead of justice. You've not dealt with me according to my iniquities. You remember that I'm but dust. Oh, thank you for all that you are to me. all that you are to all of us if we'll just acknowledge it and accept it. And thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for being my God. Thank you for being my fortress, my high tower, my buckler. Thank you for being my shield. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you are to me this morning. You're everything. You are everything. And you're enough. Lord, I don't need nothing else. You're enough. And I'm satisfied with you this morning. Now, speak to our heart, I pray. And we'll thank you and praise you. Cleanse me, Lord. I don't want nothing like sin. Not even a shadow of anything. Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm wicked. I've done repented and cleaned up and tried. And Lord, I failed. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm just sorry. And help me to do better. Give me strength to live the way I need to live. Give me power to preach this morning. Help them kids downstairs, I pray. And we're going to thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. I've been asked, and I believe they've been honest questions. You got to be careful about how you judge a question. But I've been asked why about a lot of things. I've been asked why do you have youth camp? And I've even been asked that even by people here at the church. Why do you have youth camp? Other people ask me, why do you have youth camp? You know that to us, to some of us, that be some, well, what kind of question is that? But you know, some people why do you do that? Why do we take off work, and why do we go sleep Marcus and Kelly, you know, Kelly come with Marcus and they went to these big places, you know, these, and which is nothing wrong with where they went, the Rise and the Wilds and all these places they go for youth conferences. And Kelly said, you know, this is a rough camp. Now she didn't stay over there, but she said, it's not just rough. She said, she kind of agreed it's just rough every which way because I reckon we're just rough. But, you know, you go, you sleep in a cabin, no air conditioning. And you don't have your own bathroom. You got to walk. You got to walk away to the bathroom. You got a community shower for the boys. Community shower for the girl. All right. You walk everywhere. You don't ride. You walk up and down the hill to get your breakfast. You walk up and down the hill to get your dinner. You walk up and down the hill to get your supper. You walk up and down the hill to go to bed. I mean, that's everything. You just go back and forth, back and forth. And it's hot and you don't sleep much. Well, actually, there was probably more rest this year, even with the kids and everything. The counselors seem more rested and everything. So, and but why? Why? Think about it, why? People say, preacher, you're talking about reopening and the church is closed down. Why? Why? Why you want to do that for? This morning, if I understood correctly, there's a church not far from us. This is their last service this morning. This is their last service. Been hundreds of people saved. In the years past, there's been hundreds of people saved. At one time, the church was packed so tight, you couldn't have turned somebody up sideways and screwed them in through the window. Yeah. But today, if I understood correctly, today is their last service. That's sad. And people ask me, why do you want to reopen one? Why do you want to reopen one that's closed? Why y'all ever going to do that property? What did y'all buy a property for up there anyway? You know that new property over there before you get to the hospital. What y'all going to do with that? Why did you even buy that? That's a waste of money. Yeah. Yeah. Why do you run buses? You run buses so far, and people can go to church somewhere else. Well, they probably would if he's welcome.
Hello. Amen. Hello.
I say that loud enough for YouTube to hear. I hope they heard. They probably would go to the other place if he's welcome.
Right. Amen, preacher.
I was asking, when are you going to retire? Why don't you retire? You've been at this a long time. Yeah, I have. Thinking about it. Or I was thinking about it. I ain't thinking about it right now. Why go to church? Why do y'all go to church? I know why some come. I don't understand why some do. Why do you come? Why do you come to church? Do you have a reason for it? What's the purpose in it? Is it doing anything for you? Is coming to church doing anything for you? Is it changing you any? You that's saved, are you a better Christian today than you was yesterday because you go into church? Are you, was you a better Christian this week because you got closer to God last week? I mean, is it doing you any good?
Yes, sir.
Is the Bible doing you, why are you reading your Bible? Is it doing you any good?
Yeah.
Pray, do you pray?
Yeah.
Why do you pray? Does it do any good?
Yes.
I was wondering if there's a reason. What your reason is. See, I know why I do what I do, but why do you do what you do? Is there a reason? Is there a purpose?
Yeah.
Is it changing you?
Yeah.
Huh? What good is it? See, I believe there's reasons. I believe there's reason. See, I believe the reason we have youth camp is that we might try to help young people and get young people saved and get them out of the world and teach them that there's another way. Yeah. Why do I want to reopen the church? Because the church is closed and the community needs a church. Huh? They need a church because there's lost people there and they're not going to drive. I've done knocked on their door. They're not going to drive over here. They've done told me, right? Eyeball. I'm not driving to Summersville to hear you preach. If you preach closer, well, let's reopen the church. I'll go preach to them. I'll send preachers over. We'll go get them. That's why. That's why. Why the new property? Well, if we can get everybody here, we ain't going to have nowhere to put them. We're going to have it. Huh? And that's not getting any new ones. That's just all us. Huh? We still all right? Why buses? Because they're not going to get here any other way. Why don't you retire? Because I ain't dead yet. I ain't going to retire. Huh? I ain't going to retire.
Amen.
I'm going in a rapture.
Amen.
I ain't quitting.
Amen.
I put up that not for sale sign Thursday night, and I ain't quitting.
Amen.
Huh? Y'all may fire me, but I ain't quitting. Huh? You understand? Huh? Why go to church? I need church.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I need church.
Yeah.
I need fellowship. I need to hear you. If nothing else, I'd rather hear you complain than not hear you at all. You know, I need church. I need Bible teaching. I need somebody to teach me. I need to hear other people pray. I need to hear people sing. I need to shake hands. I need to see you. I need to see what God's doing in your life. I needed to see that baby come here this morning. Huh? We've been praying for that baby, man. We ought to have shouted the house down because little Micah was in church this morning. Gene walked this week. Gene ain't been able to walk in a month. Huh? And she walked. Man, we ought to be excited to come to church and hear what God is doing in our lives. To know that 33 people come to Christ. Man, we ought to be shouting. Hey, they used to have drinking parties and sex and all kinds of filth and dope up there where we call what we call the tabernacle, that they don't even know the term on the property. When we say the tabernacle, they say, what? That's what they told me, what? You mean the rec hall? I said, that's the tabernacle. I ain't calling a rec hall. We're getting people saved out of the wreck they was in. Huh? Man, we ought to be shouting. Huh?
Yeah.
For two young ladies wanting to do the work of the Lord going on a mission field.
Yes.
Huh? Right. Four young men give her life. One of them was my grandson.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm tickled to death. Now, scared to death for him, but I'm tickled to death for him.
Yeah.
Huh? Do you know what that, you know how blessed I am? You know, now this ain't got nothing to do with it, but it's the way it works out. He's a sixth generation. I'm glad that the Lord is keeping it in the family going right on down the line. Six generations of preachers.
Hallelujah.
Huh? No, I don't think I'm for sale. No. The for sale sign down. Huh? I'll preach, and after I'm dead, I'll still have more power than a lot of preachers. Just keep preaching me. Just keep preaching. Play my tapes. Listen, I'm going to tell you how bad churches are. Can I go and tell you? We may be here for 3 or 4 hours. I don't know. Listen to me. Listen to me. I come to get in and then come to get out. Listen to me. There's a church, Kings Creek Baptist Church. They got a fill in now. Bobby Pauly's going in and preaching some on Sunday morning and Gabe, what's Gabe? How you say Gabe's from Doug's church? Malio or Meoli? Gabe, what a name. He's a whop, I reckon. Gabe Meoli. All right, and he goes over and preaches. But you know what they was doing to try to survive? Huh? You better pay attention to what you got. You know what they was doing for months to survive? My daddy has been dead 25 years. All right? He's been dead 20. That was the last church that he pastored. All right? They've been playing daddy's tapes on Sunday morning. They was 5 or 6 of them getting together, trying to sing a song and put a tape in, a daddy preaching so they could have preaching.
Yeah.
Is that not sad?
Yeah.
Now it's a testimony to my daddy. Great. It's a testimony to the Lord that they want to hear preaching. But to get in the shape that you're listening to he's been gone 25 years. And they're playing the tapes of Sunday morning. And they was there when the sermon was preached. What a blessing that is, but what a sadness. Yeah, see, this is why we have church. This is why we don't want churches to close up and die. This is why. This is why. This is a purpose. There's purposes for all of us. Why do I preach? Why do I preach? God called me. I don't have a choice. The young preachers that surrendered to preach, I told them, preach or die. If you ain't going to preach, then I hope God kills you. That's what I told each one of them. If you didn't say you should preach, if you ain't going to preach, then let God kill you. That's what I look at. Preach or die. Let somebody kill you. Preach or die. Die while you're preaching. That's my kid. But don't stop. Don't buy. Take the reverse out of your transmission. Is what I told all of them. Take the reverse out of your transmission. Don't back up and tear your tie rods off. You can't go right or left. Just go straight. Keep going.
Amen.
There's a reason for this stuff. There's a reason that we do things. And you need to find the reason and the purpose that drives you.
Yep.
And if Christ is not the reason, and if Christ is not the purpose, then you've missed the whole thing. I'm not looking for a 401 retirement and a check. That's not what I'm looking for. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it says, let him his soul still no more, but let him labor with his hands, that he might be able to give. Not save. I know. But when you die, you ain't taking it with you. And it's going to be squandered, just to encourage you. They're going to burn it. Your family's going to burn it, waste it, and laugh at you. If they bury you, they're going to take your cash and write you a check. Put it in your casket. Let him have stole still no more, but let him labor with his hand. They might be able to give. We need to quit trying to live to stay here and start living like we're going there.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
I know. Let's see if we can find some reason for it all. That's what I'm going to preach to you for this. I mean, the reason for it all. We okay?
Yes.
The reason for it all. 1 John chapter 3. Just why do we even have a Jesus? Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Why did he come? 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. He says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Mark it right there if you're reading. Mark it right there. Write it on your hand. He that committed sin is of the devil. Amen, preach. That's what it says. For the devil sins from the beginning. That's exactly right. That's what the Bible says. We just read it. Now look what it says. For this purpose, for this reason, the reason for all, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Can I tell you that the reason that Christ came, the reason that God was manifested in the flesh, that he might come down to this earth and show victory over destroying all the works of the devil and giving victory to anybody that'll come and they destroy. He didn't whoop, ain't whoop the devil. Listen, he destroyed the works of the devil. That ain't just getting whooped. He destroyed the works of the devil. That's what the scripture said. That's why he came. That's why he came. That for this purpose, isn't that what it says? It didn't say for a purpose. Not one of many purposes. But for this purpose, he came. That he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil raised his ugly head in heaven, and the Lord chunked him out on his head. Huh? Think about it. He's tried to destroy. He's had to go. He's had to do it all with permission.
Right.
Because God is sovereign and in control.
Yeah.
All right. But he's worked, and he's worked in your life. He's worked in my life. He's caused us to lie, cheat, steal, gossip, drink, whore around, be a whoremonger. Be a dopehead. He's caused us to cause trouble. He's caused us to rebel against God. He's caused us to worship idols. He's caused everything sinful, everything wrong, everything you can imagine. He's called, the devil's caused it all. And he, the wonderful great God of glory, manifested himself and come down that he might destroy all that filthy work that the devil's done.
Amen.
And he destroys it in our life. And we come to him and he justifies us of this we never sin. And he destroys the work of the devil. Though they may be scars in memory, can I tell you, we're clean as a driven snow when he comes in our life tonight, today.
Amen.
Huh? So that's why he came. That's why he came. But that's not all. Can I tell you, why Calvary though? Why Calvary? Huh? Can we find something maybe in John chapter 12? John chapter 12. Why Calvary? Why Calvary? Let's see if we look here in John 12. Maybe get a word here. We okay? Let's start in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now this is Jesus speaking. He said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Now he's getting ready to go to Calvary. God manifested in the flesh. Put on a robe of flesh that he might walk where we walk. That he might feel as we feel. That he might think as we think. Still 100% God and 100% man. The God man. Alright. And he says here, Father, what shall I say? He's telling the people, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me from Calvary. Save me from suffering. What's it say? But for this cause came I into this hour. Now we see his purpose of coming into the world. Now it says for this cause of this hour. See, that's a little different time. Are you understanding your scripture? Huh? For this purpose he came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. But for this cause, he came to this hour. Right down to the very second, to the minute that he was going to become sin for me and you. That all your filth and all the thoughts and all the deeds of our life, that he was going to become he who knew no sin, become sin for us, so we might be made the righteous of God in him. Huh? that he would become sin for us, for this hour, for this hour, for this cause I come to this hour, that they're going to shame me, that they're going to beat me, that they're going to ridicule me and mock me. They're going to put the thorns on my head. They're going to beat my face. They're going to pull my beard out. They're going to strip me naked. They're going to beat me to where I'm unrecognizable. They're going to nail me to an old rugged cross. They're going to hang me up in shame before the heaven and between the heavens and the earth, and let people walk by and gawk at me. They're naked in shame and sin, what they would call sin, but it was my sin, not his sin. They thought he was a criminal, but I was the criminal. They thought he was a sinner, but I was a sinner that hung there, for he had done it in my place, in your place, and as the blood would run down, and God the Father would turn his face away. He said, shall I say, save me from this hour? No, for this hour is why I came. Yeah. Calvary. He come for Calvary. Ah, years I spent in vanity and pride. Carry not. My Lord was crucified. Knowing not. It was for me he died at Calvary. Oh, at Calvary, mercy there was great. And grace was free. A pardon there was multiplied to me. There I find liberty. Huh? Why? Because of Calvary this morning. Calvary. The reason you're looking at him this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the reason.
Yeah.
For Calvary. You.
Yes.
You're the reason.
Yeah.
You're the reason.
Yeah.
You're the reason.
Yeah.
You're the reason for Calvary.
Yeah.
For this hour, you're the reason. You're the why, because you're a filthy, dirty, rotten scoundrel sinner, and you're the reason for Calvary. You're the, for the hour that he suffered, you're the reason.
Amen.
You're the reason. You're the reason. If you had been the only one, he would have still come for you.
Huh?
Because he come for sinners. He come to destroy. And if you would be the only one, you had the works of the devil in you, and he come to destroy it out of your life.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
That's what it says. Then for this cause, for this reason, for this cause, huh? Why he came, man? I love Calvary on a hill, far away. Huh? Stood an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
I still like the song.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? To that old rugged cross. This is my prayer. I will ever be true. His shame and reproach gladly bear. Till he call me someday. To that home far away. Where his glory forever I'll share. Calvary. Calvary means something.
Amen.
It's for a purpose. Yeah. It's not just for a decoration around your neck. It's not just for a sign on your car. Oh, but it's Calvary is the reason for me and you for that hour that the God, the Father God would turn his back.
Amen.
Because he had my sin and your sin.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Think about it. Think about it. We still okay? Can I tell you that because of Calvary, because of what he's done, and because we preached it last Sunday night, because we don't honor what was done on the cross, because we don't honor his blood shed and his body broken for me and you. Can I tell you? Let's look over here. Everybody look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to me now. Calvary means something. If you're saved this morning, won't you look at me? If you're truly saved, you know that your Bible's saved. Huh? Then Calvary better mean something to you. If it don't, it's a shame.
Yes, yes.
If you don't, then talking about prating around unworthily.
Yes.
Huh? We all right? Look at verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11:26.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink a cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And we'll stop right there and let you understand that that's not honoring what Christ done. That's a simple way to understand it. It's not honoring what Christ done. Go ahead, you live your life not honoring what Christ done. And you're going to find yourself in trouble. And why? For this cause. For this reason. Because of that, many are weak, many are sickly among you, and many sleep. Huh? Might be why you have a little bit of health problems is you don't honor the Lord. You say, well, you can't say that. Well, he just said it. The Bible just said it. Maybe you're a little weak. You just seem like you can't hang in there. Well, quit trusting you and trust him.
Amen.
For our weakness is made, our strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we acknowledge him, is that what the Bible teaches? Talk to me this morning.
Yes.
People wonder why some people die early. Now, this is not for everybody, but I believe we die when it's our turn.
Yeah.
I still, what is that? That's one of them Western, might be the, it's a John Wayne Western, when that fella died, and they all, yeah, everybody dies, but it's his turn. And I said, well, that's really got a lot of common sense in it. I know that's not scripture, but it's common sense. All right? We all get our turn. We all get our turn. But sometimes we push it. Now, I don't mind straight in places. But I don't want him to take me early. I don't mind taking place. The Bible says there is a sin of death. I would just not pray for it. We can back away so far that he'll take us out. Because it says right here, for this cause, many are weak, many are sickly, and many sleep. That means there are saved people that die early.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because of the great purpose of Calvary.
Right.
It's not a game.
That's right.
It's serious stuff.
Yes.
We still okay?
Yes.
You sure we're okay? Why does God allow sin, you might say? People say, why does God allow that to go on, Why does God allow people to live like that? Well, let's see if we can find out. How about Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, let's start at verse 21. Well, it's hard to start there. Can we start at verse 18? Back it up there, guys. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, listen carefully, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For this cause. Why? Because that man had went so far that nothing they lived in was but idolatry. And they wanted to be God themselves. And they made gods for themselves. And though they knew God, they wouldn't honor God and worship God. And Paul's writing to a church. And we better not pawn it off on the world. For there's things here for the world, but there's things here for those who knew God. That's what it says. For this cause, God give them up unto vile affections. Look how bad. For even their women did change the natural use into which that is against nature. Likewise also the men. How far can you go? How far can you go in sin? Huh? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You better not stand and say you'll never do this and you'll never do that. Because you'll go further. Sin will take you further than you ever thought of going. Huh? It will. But I just want you to understand for this cause. Because they turned their back on God. You better be careful this morning. You better be careful what you put before God. Hear me. You better be careful what you put before God. Because God will give you up to your vile affections. You better be careful. He don't play second fiddle. He plays first fiddle or he don't play. He'll take his ball and bat and go home. Are you hearing me? We better be careful. Huh? Everybody still understand that? Huh? I think it's pretty simple there. Huh? Why? Do you think, maybe, that Paul preached the way he did and left us the epistles and preached to us and showed us and taught us and even commanded us preachers to preach the same? I wonder why. Why is that? Can we find it? How about Acts chapter 26? Is everybody still with me this morning? Acts 26. Acts 26, Paul was standing before Agrippa. And just got through giving him his testimony. How that he is a persecutor and how he was a murderer and how he persecuted the church and none greater than he persecuted the church. He was hard on them. But God stopped him and spoke to him, cleaned him up. That's what happened. And there in verse 15 it says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, this reason. This is why, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which are in God or which are in me." Can I tell you the reason Paul did what he did? Because God called him and that was his purpose. Why don't you retire, preacher? Because I got a purpose. Why don't you quit, preacher? I got a purpose. I got a purpose. I got a purpose. Nothing else matters. I got to work everything else around that purpose. I don't work my purpose around everything else. I work my purpose around everything. Not everything around my purpose. Everybody got me? Talk to me. See? Now that's me. Now I'm that's what God's called me to do. He's called me to preach. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 3. We still okay? The purpose to preach, huh? Can I tell you, it was not only purpose to preach, but he was even purpose to be delivered unto the Gentiles from the ones he was preaching deliverance to. You read that, didn't you? His purpose was to be delivered unto the Gentiles on whom he was going to deliver. In other words, I'm going to have it to where you have it rough and go to jail for the very things you've been putting everybody in jail for. I'm going to put you in jail, but you're going to preach and deliver. Now you put people in jail to be killed, but I'm putting you in jail to deliver.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Huh? Are we okay?
Yeah.
We forget about that sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes God's got a sense of humor that he'll even put you back in your own hometown to pastor.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Huh? He'll put you where there ain't no honor. He'll put you where everybody knows you. Huh? He'll put you where everybody knows. See, I know everybody. It's what everybody says. You know everybody. Yeah, but they know me. If I just know them, that would be wonderful. But they know me. See, they know me while I wasn't behind the pulpit. They know me when I was running from God. They know me when I didn't act like a Christian. And you know where the Lord sent me to go preach revivals and right down in the middle? Huh? I preached in a pulpit to the fellas that I fought sitting in a pew.
Amen.
I preached from the pulpit to the people I was mean to and talked about. There have been many places I went. I've had to repent to the people before I ever walked through the aisle of the church. Are you listening to me? And that's what he told Paul. We still okay? But look here. What else? He purposed to teach and pray. How about chapter 3, verse 1? For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. I'm a prisoner because of y'all. For y'all. Huh? But it goes on down. Hang with me now. You'll see my point here. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. To know. Huh? Paul's purpose was to preach, and Paul's purpose was to teach and to pray for you. And can I tell you, that's my purpose. He called me to preach, and every preacher is called to do the same, to preach the gospel, huh?
Yes.
To teach and to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But even be concerned. Any pastor, any preacher that's not concerned, they probably ought to let everybody know they're not a preacher or a pastor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul's writing to the church. And you know what he says? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, when I couldn't take it, when I done worried about you to where I couldn't take it no more, he said, I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So he sent Timothy down there to the church of Thessalonica because he was worried, and he was so worried he couldn't take it no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to look at me, and I'm not saying this to be self-righteous or for pity or anything, but I want you to know something. I do care about you.
Yeah.
And I pray for you. I may not pray the way you want me to pray for you, but I pray for you.
Sure.
Huh? I'm praying for your sicknesses. I am. I'm praying for your sins. I am. I'm praying for your home. Your homes that are troubled. Huh? There's only one way to do it right, and that's to get it together. And that's what I'm praying. Whatever it takes to get it together. And don't never quit. Listen, you're home in trouble. Don't you back up. You hang in there with God. How are you hanging there waiting on God this morning?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Don't you back up off of it. You get close to God as you can. You living in sin and you need to get to Calvary this morning. Huh? Get to Calvary quickly. Run. Run to Calvary. Run. We still okay? Huh? But Paul said, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't take it, I sent to know your faith. I want to make sure everything's all right. That's by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring ready to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you and all our afflictions and distress by your faith. Can I tell you what made Paul feel better? He was in jail. No doubt he was hurting, had problems. Can you imagine being in jail all the time and the torment and everything, you know? Now, there was times someone was good to him, but he was in jail. And the afflictions, but people talk about him maybe being having trouble seeing and other afflictions. I don't know what all he had. Huh? But he said, boy, it makes me feel better. In the trouble I'm got, it makes me feel better if I know you're doing better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at me this morning. If you're doing better, it'll make me feel better.
Oh, yes.
It helps me.
Yeah.
See, there's a purpose for all this.
Yeah.
Is anybody understanding this morning? I'm talking about the reason. Huh? The reason. The reason I ought to pray. The reason I pray for you. The reason others ought to pray one for another. Huh? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you read the first part, it talks about the faith in Christ and the love which they had for the saints. He's writing to the church of Colossae. Look at verse 9. What's it say? For this cause, for this purpose, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, to all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can I tell you? The reason Paul prayed is the reason we're to pray and pray one for another.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? That others might. What are we supposed to pray? What are we supposed to pray? Now listen to me. I'm not being cold-hearted toward anybody that's got a health problem. I got health problems. All right? But you notice what they was praying for mainly was spiritual problems. That we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 9. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful. We need to be praying that one another have some spiritual understanding, that our walk be what it's supposed to be. Listen, I don't need to pray for you to treat me better. Huh? I don't really pray that I love you more. I should love you more anyway. I don't have to pray to love you. If I've got to pray to love you, I may need Christ. Because they knew they had been with Christ because they had love for the brethren. Right? I'm supposed to be praying that you walk worthy, that you walk better, that you have a more spiritual understanding. That's how we're supposed to be praying one for another. We spend our time trying to make people better here in this life. No, it's the spiritual realm that we need to be praying about.
Amen.
Huh? Listen, if you drink 3 pots of caffeine coffee and your heart populates, I'm not going to pray that your heart quit populating. I'm going to pray you cut it back to 2 pots. No, I ain't going to pray about it.
Right.
I'm not going to pray about that.
Right. No.
I'm not.
Amen, preacher.
You ought to have enough sense to know what bothers you.
That's right. Amen.
That's why I don't ever request prayer for myself and health problems, because I've done shot myself in both feet. Why should I pray for you for healing? I'm the one that caused it. Pray for me that I'll have power. Pray for me that I'll have wisdom. Pray for me that I have spiritual understanding. Pray for me that I walk worthy. Pray for me that I amount to something for God, that I'm fruitful in the work of God. That's what we need this morning. Whether we're in wheelchairs or crutches, or they roll us in on a bed with IV on a pole, let us do it for God.
Amen.
I know that might be a little harsh, but that's... How about we just think about it? Why? Now, can I give you one more and I'll quit? Sure, I'll go to piano. Just as I am without one plea, Clara. Can I give you another this morning? The reason that you got mercy. The reason you got mercy. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now I believe, if we would be honest, we're pretty much what Paul was. Because if we didn't do it, the Bible says if we done one of the others, we done that in two.
Right. Amen.
So how about we start about around verse 9? Is everybody okay with me this morning? I just want you to know there's a reason. There's a reason that God does what He does. There's a reason that He had His Son do what He did. There's a reason that He wants you to do something this morning. And then especially if you're lost here this morning, there's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for you this morning. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So that covers all of us, don't it?
Yeah.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. Ain't it wonderful? And the grace of our Lord was exceeding. I think it's greater down there on the bottom there in front of me. I think. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. How come I obtain mercy? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on me, or believe on him, to life everlasting. How come I got mercy? Because he came to save sinners. You know why you got mercy this morning? Because he came to save sinners. You know why you got mercy this morning? Because he came to save sinners. There's a reason for it. We okay? Now I'm going to ask you this morning, how you living? Everybody just look at me here this morning. Let's just be flat honest this morning. How you living? Just how close you living right now? How close you living right now? You say you're a Christian, how close are you cutting it? Just be honest. You look at me now. Don't look at me. Look me right in the eyeball. I like to look somebody in the eyeball. I can't stand talking to nobody with sunglasses on. I want to look in their eyes. I like to invade your space. I see you in your soul when I look in your eyes. How you living? How you living? You living where you ought to be living? I'm asking you, Christian, are you living where you ought to be living? If you ain't, how long you gonna live like this? How long are you going to live like that? It's costing you.
Yeah.
It costs you to live wrong. You can live as close as you want to live. There's nothing that keeps you from living close, but you deciding not to live close. But I got, no. No, but. No, the Lord will take care of all of you. How you living? How's your mouth? How's your mind? How's your motives? Huh? How are they? You living right? Then why don't you get out of your seat and come repent? Say, Lord, I messed up. I got to start over. He said, okay, start over.
Yeah, he does.
Right.
If you really mean it, I'll help you.
Yes, that's good.
Huh? Now, if you're just coming to get a little bit of load off today and go live like hell here after a while, no, I ain't doing nothing for you. Because he'll play game. Are you saved this morning? Look at me. Are you a saved man, a saved woman? Do you know that for a fact? I mean, are you sure? Have you been truly born again, saved? Have you? Oh, the cost if you have not been. To go to hell, why would anybody want to go to hell? And you say, well, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Then you must be born again. You must be. You must be. You must be saved. And he'll save anybody. Hey, Dave, I got to be in church with Chip the other day. Yeah, Chip come to church down there at the youth camp. He just sat there, just smiled. Come on, give me a big hug. Huh? I thought, my. How long we pray? 30 years? How long? Tickled to death. See a boy, he had stand up there with the preacher. They had all the young preachers, regardless of when they was called. And there Chip's boy standing up there, just big as bounce. Listen, are you saved? He'll save anybody. Are you saved this morning? I mean, listen to me. Are you saved? Not family saved. Not mommy saved, daddy saved. Not church saved, not preacher saved. Are you Bible saved?
Yeah.
Have you repented and received Christ? Have you decided to turn from the way you're living and come to Jesus Christ and follow Him? That's what being saved is following Christ. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me. That's what He said. Father, I've given as you've given me the best I could. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.